Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Hello. Do I need to sing good morning to you? Are you all in your places with sunshiny faces? Good morning, good morning. You are watching and listening to I was just thinking, So let's see what we're going to think about today. As I told you before, I'm not going to mention this. I'm just going to hold it up as a reminder. There's all kind of talk about the necessity still for these creatures, so just keep it in mind. Today, as always, we always have some very interesting people, but I'm going to go ahead and bring our guest in because he's on a tight schedule, and I'll tell you who he is. Before you say anything, let me tell everybody who our guest is. Everybody, our guest is Daryl Harvey, and he's president of the Chicago-based Black Child Book Fair. And it will be conducting a tour, a book tour for children and their families on several dates. But their Dallas date is this coming Saturday at the African American Museum at Fair Park. And the sponsor is the Dallas Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta, and they collaborate with the City of Dallas Office of Art and Culture. So let me just get right in because his time is tight. Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Ms. Wade. I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm good. And everybody, as I said, Daryl Harvey, and he's talking to us from Chicago. I don't think he arrived here in Dallas yet, but will be on his way soon. Let's get right in. What is this book fair about, and why does it exist? Tell us about it.
Okay, sure. So the Black Child Book Fair is my creation for representation for Black literature for children.
Mm-hmm.
I began writing books for 12 years ago. Originally, I wrote poetry.
Okay.
And 9 to 5, I've been a social worker.
Okay.
So, in my work as a social worker, I came across a young boy, and I mentored him for about a year.
Okay.
And I wanted to give him something to remember me by. So I wrote my first children's book in honor of that child. So as I began getting that book out there, Black parents came to me and saw me selling this book with this little Black boy on the cover of it. And they were like, it's hard for Black parents to find books with Black characters in them. And so I heard that for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I thought to myself, well, what would happen if I created a book fair focused on Black children?
Yeah.
So in 2019, I held the first Black Child Book Fair in Chicago.
Okay.
And so we had an overwhelming success.
Wow. That's got to feel good. Let me jump in because, you know, there's always the mystery, and I suspect a little fear and trepidation when you strike out to the unknown like that, and you don't know whether you're going to fall flat on your face or what. What did that feel like for it to go so well?
I was overwhelmed. I couldn't believe it because from the moment we opened the door until the moment we closed the door, people were just coming in.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was just like, wow, I think we got something.
I think I've touched a... Right, but now let me fast forward to that night when you laid your head on your pillow. What were your thoughts then?
So that night, I was beaming. I was smiling. I was like, wow, I really did something great today.
We did that thing.
But it occurred to me, okay, Chicago isn't the only place where they have black parents.
Right.
They don't have black literacy.
Right, right.
So that was 2019. In 2020,
mm-hmm.
right before the pandemic hit,
yeah.
we did three cities.
Okay.
In 2021, even during the pandemic, we did eight cities.
Okay. Wow.
Wait a minute.
You did eight cities even during the pandemic.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh my! We gotta just pause a little bit right there. How did you plan that? How did you put that together? How did you cover all the protocol and how did you manage it?
So luckily, a lot of the places that we work with were willing to have the book fair as long as we follow, you know, the protocols.
Correct.
And we're even willing to supply masks.
Okay.
And hand sanitizers.
Okay.
So we were able to go through that year. It wasn't easy now. It wasn't easy.
Right.
Because a lot of people, you know, were still nervous about it. And
sure.
Reschedule.
Sure.
But we met in eight cities.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this.
So that,
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Eight cities.
That was 2021. So
okay.
Here we are, 2022.
Uh huh.
And we're ending the year in Dallas.
Okay.
And Dallas will be our 11th city.
Wow. Well, now let me. That begs the question. Then you're at 11. There are 12 gates to the city, I'm told. So are you going to go forward? Are you still planning to add more cities? Or do you have a cutoff point that you're going to say to yourself, now, wait a minute, I don't want to overdo this. So what are your thoughts?
Are you speaking for 2023?
Well, and on. I mean, in your head, are you thinking there will be a cutoff point? Or are you just going to kind of keep that door open and see what happens?
At this moment, we're open for growth.
Good. That answers that question. You are open for growth. I love it. Okay, now, when did Dallas come aboard? Do you recall?
So we did Dallas last year.
Okay.
In partnership with the Delta Sigma Theta Alumni Delta Sigma Theta Incorporated Alumni Chapter.
Right. And they are this year's host as well, collaborating with the City Arts Program. Right. Well, now tell us about Dallas. Okay. And I gave a little bit of points, but I do have a flyer here. I don't know if it'll show or not, but there is the flyer about it. But give us all the details, what the time and the place and it's all here on the flyer. If you want me to, I'll just read from the flyer, but tell us about Dallas.
So Dallas this year will be at the African American Museum.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the address is 3536 Grand.
That is correct. And that's at, everybody, y'all know where the African American Museum is. It's inside Fair Park, African American Museum, and that's where it will be. Now, this Saturday is December 10th. And I'll just give them the time. The time is 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. They're at the African American Museum right inside of the Fair Park, 3536 Grand Avenue. Now, I'm curious, what kind of reactions do you notice from the young people? Now, a lot of times, young people don't realize, your parent will take them somewhere because the parent knows the value. But do any reactions of the young people stand out in your memory where you think, yeah, that little person right there, they get it. They get it. Any reactions like that?
Yeah, you know, thankfully, there are some parents that instill a value of learning and of books to their children. But especially those that instill a value of Black character. Kids being able to see kids that look like them achieving something in those books. Largely across the country, I personally have experienced children seeing my books and grabbing the books and just hugging them.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay.
For one, but as I mentioned earlier, when Black parents were telling me, hey, you know, it's hard for us to find books with Black characters. And
right.
I had to do a little research about that. And in mainstream children's literature, there's only somewhere between 10 to maybe 13% of those books have Black characters in them.
Wow. Think about it. Think about it.
Yeah, think about that.
Right,
so
yeah.
Create, myself and other Black authors, positive stories with characters that our kids can learn from and identify with.
Now, let me jump in. You mentioned that first book that you wrote and the young boy who touched your heart. And you wanted to give him something as a memory piece. Can you remember what inspired your plot in the book? And tell us, you have the name of the book or anything like that. Tell us about that first book. And did you make him like a character? And what? Tell us about it.
Oh, absolutely. I named the main character after that child.
Okay, okay.
So he would always know that he was the inspiration for that book.
Oh, gosh.
The name, and so that was a preschool age book.
Uh-huh.
It's called I Can Do Anything. And so for the preschool age, it has bright colors. It has big sight words.
Okay.
It rhymes throughout the book.
Oh.
And it reinforces that message that I can do anything. So,
wow. Wow.
In my time when that book was done, we have on the cover, which is the cover you see on that flyer that you have.
Oh, okay. This is the little child here. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Right. At that time, I had never seen a children's book with a little Black boy on the cover standing like that, proud. And
right. Do you keep in touch with that child now? Where is he now? What do you know?
You know what? I have been meaning to connect with him to see where he is, because my life is I've done all kinds of things since then. But
Absolutely. Now, let me ask this, and we've got a little more time left. And you've mentioned a couple already, but when you look back from that beginning in what I think you said 2019, I think you said, you look back at that beginning and you look at the various cities where you've toured and the various groups of young people and parents and what have you, what would you point to as some proud moments that just stick in your mind. Now, the child hugging the book, that would stick in my mind. And then the reaction of the young boy who was the recipient of your first book. But any other proud moments or experiences that just jump out to you?
Well, yeah, I have to say, considering that this is kind of, although a book fair is not a new thing to the world,
yeah.
But the Black Child Book Fair moving across the country is a big thing.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
The growth, even here in Chicago, we started in what I would look at now as a small hall or a small room.
Oh.
The Chicago Book Fair has doubled in size.
Wow.
From 2019. So that makes me very proud.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now what go ahead, I'm sorry.
We just went to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
last month for the first time.
Okay.
That was an overwhelming success.
Oh, great.
So,
great.
Okay,
great. Now, there have got to be frustrations. Share with us. Share with us, if you will, some of the frustrations. And, you know, I don't know, maybe they were lessons. Maybe lessons were learned from the frustration. Get it off your chest and share a little bit of it with us.
Okay. I definitely learned that you got to make sure if you're doing something like this, you're going, bringing an event to a city that hasn't had that event before.
Yeah.
Man, you got to pull out all the stops.
Ooh.
You got to really make sure that you cover all the bases of getting the word out.
Yeah.
So that much I definitely have learned that I cannot not do one part of that promotion piece. That's number one.
Right.
Number two, I had a frustration here in Illinois earlier this year.
Okay.
There is a suburb of Illinois, a large affluent suburb called Evanston,
okay.
Illinois.
Okay, I've heard of Evanston.
Yeah, so they have a large high school there,
mm-hmm.
Evanston Township High School, and I was approached by someone that worked for the high school.
Right.
Saying, you know, can we bring that to Evanston?
Yeah.
And I thought it was a good idea. I had been a vendor at an event in Evanston for several years.
Okay.
And I knew that Evanston would appreciate, I thought that Evanston would appreciate the event.
Yeah.
And so it was supposedly set up. I received an email from the principal of that school saying, yes, come on, we're ready to have you.
Yeah.
And so about a month before the event was to occur, I got contacted by some other personnel that worked for that high school that was nervous about the name of my book fair.
Oh.
And they canceled us because of the name of
the name
fair.
Being Black. Oh, my gosh.
And Mrs. Way, Adams Way, it was a Black man.
Whoa.
Black school administrator.
Well, now, I gotta ask. Do you think there's an open door to get back with that individual or someone on an equal level as him or a parent group that could approach them and kind of educate them a little bit? I hate to close that door.
I hate to close that door too, but it left a very bad taste in my mouth.
I would imagine. But you know what? I bet a parent group could take that taste out of your mouth. I bet you a parent group could take that taste out of your mouth. That's just Oh my God. See, now that is a perfect example of one negative person who can and pull the rug out of hundreds of other people. He doesn't have that right. He doesn't have that right to pull out the plug from all those young people who would benefit because of his personal hang up. I wouldn't let it go. I would not let it go. But I can see that. I know that knocked the wind out of your sail. Well, let's move. Now, after Dallas, I think I've got a little schedule here. Okay, after Dallas, which is this Saturday the 10th, you go, where do you go after that? Let's see. I think you go on into next year. Is that right?
So we go into Oakland in the beginning of February.
Okay.
For the first time.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
And the second weekend is Chicago.
Oh yeah, that's your big event back there at home turf, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Now let me ask you this: what do you wish that parents would do with their kids to help promote more reading? What are your hopes and dreams for parents filling their role to help their children, particularly African-American children, to appreciate literature, the written word, and all of that? What's your advice to parents?
So my advice is to create a reading time. Several, in our culture today, lots of parents are buying kids these super expensive video games.
Oh, yeah.
And allowing the kids to spend hour upon hour playing these video games all day long.
Yeah.
I would, if it were me, I would create a reading time.
Okay.
And strip the room of all the electronics.
Right, right.
And put a book in the kid's hand and give them a half hour, an hour.
Right.
To do some reading.
Right, right, right. I love that idea. God, and it sounds doable. You know, it really does. Now, of course, we can anticipate that the kid's not going to like it at first. But if the parent digs in their heels, I truly believe that the child will begin to, quote unquote, get it and at some point look forward to it. That's a great idea. That just shows that parents have to hold our ground because we do have a responsibility in all of this. Now, let me ask you, did you even at this point and as you were growing up, any favorite books that you had or any favorite types of books that you were attracted to?
So we're going back a little.
Yeah, a little bit.
We're going back a little bit. I, as a child, was really into comic books.
Okay.
I remember, and it's so odd for me to remember this, but I remember like going with my father to some kind of drugstore or something, and they used to have comic books on this little carousel.
Okay.
And I saw a comic book, and I asked for the comic book. He bought me the comic book, and I was hooked on comic books after that.
Okay. That's too good. But now, at what point? Now, you mentioned, and we'll talk about it a little bit. Well, let's go ahead and talk about it now. You mentioned that your quote-unquote 9-to-5 job is as a social worker. So there you are, a child, and you love comic books. Bring us from or give us a little bit of your journey from reading those comic books to going on and doing high school and college or whatever, and then choosing social work. How did you lay out that path for yourself?
That was kind of crazy. I grew up reading comic books, and but I was a kind of...
Were you a nerd?
I like an undercover nerd. Yeah, because I enjoyed comic books and everything, but I in school, in high school, I was on sports teams.
Okay.
Yeah, I played football and I wrestled.
So okay.
I love the rougher sports. I watched, like a lot of kids in the 80s, I watched a lot of professional wrestling, Hulk Hogan and all that stuff.
Get out of here.
Yeah, but I kept reading. And then in high school, at the end of my high school career, I discovered poetry.
Okay.
And I thought, well, I like girls too. So I was like, hey, poetry is the way to get girls.
Okay, but wait a minute. I gotta jump in there. So you were... What, since you were reading books or something, didn't you read a book and it kind of clicked with you? And like you said, that I did, this is a way to kind of get my message across to the girls. How did that happen? Were you reading something or you heard it on the radio or what?
English class.
Get out.
Yeah, English class. And we were doing poetry in my senior year. And I thought, hey, I kind of like poetry. So. I started writing poetry, and I went on into college.
Right.
Writing poetry.
Yeah.
And so after college, I actually majored in broadcast journalism.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, I majored in broadcast journalism, but when I got out of college, I still really didn't, I guess, have the connections or whatever to get into the field.
Mm-hmm.
And a job in social work just came along.
Right, right.
Just kind of dropped in my lap, and I was like, well, I'll do this until I can get into, you know, my thing was radio back then.
Okay, okay.
But social work has a way, if you really care about people,
uh-huh,
I can
relate to that. I can see how that would happen. And like that little boy, I keep going back to him because there's such a power in me. That's a powerful story. You had, you know, some kind of assignment or something, and there this child ended up in impacting your future. He impacted your future.
Really did, yes. Because that book is kind of like the grandfather of the book fair.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's too interesting. So go ahead.
So now I've been in social work a long time, and I've done just about everything you can imagine. I've worked in foster care, group homes.
Wow.
I was a supervisor of a group home, mentoring, tutoring, and currently I'm in... I'm a counselor.
Okay, okay, okay.
Yeah, I'm a supervisor in a counseling program for teenage boys.
Oh, okay, okay. Now, in just a few minutes that we have, because you've got to be off real soon, any other issues or points we didn't touch on or issues that are on your heart or mind that you would like to take this opportunity to share with us while we're talking? Any other comments or issues you want to bring up or comments you want to make?
Well, again, I think it's very important for Black parents to support their children by making sure that they are reading.
Mm.
I recently just did some research and found out that there's only a small number of kids that are reading on level.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. In the national reading test, 15% of eighth grade African-American children are on level.
Well, oh, my gosh. That's heartbreaking. That's heartbreaking.
We got to do better.
Well, everybody, we have been talking with Daryl Harvey, and he is president of the Chicago-based Black Child Book Fair, and they're coming to Dallas. They're on a national tour, and we are, I think we're the finale appointment for 2022. Now he will be, let me just real quickly, I heard you say something about other authors. Other authors are coming or what? I didn't get that.
Oh, yes, ma'am. We have roughly somewhere in the neighborhood of, I think, of 15 authors in total that will be in Dallas.
Okay, great, great, great. So y'all get out there at 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. this Saturday, December 10th at the African American Museum at Fair Park, 3536 Grand Avenue. So we will have the founder of this tour, Daryl Harvey, that we're talking with now. And as he said, there will be like more than a dozen other authors there and their books. And y'all get out there with your kids, introduce them, help them to get the value of books, and particularly books directed toward Black children, African American children. So few children, Daryl Harvey tells us, see themselves presented on the printed page. And so we want to grab this opportunity. Daryl Harvey, founder of this group, and more than a dozen other authors at African American Museum, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. this Saturday, December 10th. Thank you so much. We wish you well.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
All righty. Bye-bye now. All right, everybody. That was Daryl Harvey. And we're so glad to that he took the time to come and share with us. Now, we're going to move right along to our second guest, and we'll go ahead and bring her in. And before she talks, I will tell you who she is. Let everybody know who you are. Everybody, this is Ms. Freddie Jones, and she calls herself Freddie J, I think. And she's going to tell us about this book fair, and it is, I'm so sorry, it's a Legacy Awards presentation, and it's the Beauty Industry and Community Awards, and it's called BICA, if I'm saying it correctly, Beauty Industry and Community Award, Legacy Award. And this is Freddie J, and she's gonna tell us all about it. So hello, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm great. So let's just jump right in and tell us, what is the BICA Legacy Award and why does it exist?
Okay, I can't hear you really well.
Okay, let's see. Now, I'm not the tech person, but a tech person, I know.
Oh, okay.
Is that better? Can you check your volume on your computer? Can you check your volume and see if it'll go up?
I think I have it all the way up.
Okay, you've got yours all the way up. And let me, yeah. Okay, now let me see. Mine is all the way up.
Okay. All right.
Let's see. If I lean forward, does that help any?
A little bit. I can hear you really.
Not as well as you would like. Okay. Well, we'll just I'll try to talk loud. Now, I'm a loud talker, so that's not a that's not a problem for me to talk loud. Okay. So I was asking you, what is the BICA Legacy Award? And why does it exist? Could you hear me? What is the BICA, if I'm saying it correctly, Legacy Award, and why does it exist?
And why does it do what now?
Why does it exist? What is the award,
okay,
and why do
so,
we have
BICA is the Beauty Industry and Community Award. So the way we came up with BICA is that the beauty industry, I wanted us to give back and do something in the community the way that originally was back in the days when a lot of things came through the salon. You know, we found out where to go vote and different things. So the salon has always been that community spot, and I wanted to bring it back to that, and also to increase the economic growth in our communities. You know, we have service people, you know, and they have patronized us as barbers and stylists and beauty industry. So we wanted to do something to give back. Become a part, more of a part, an integral part of the community by helping to create economic growth.
Okay.
So that's how I thought about maybe to get us to come together, why not do a networking event and give away awards to people, black excellence in the community. So that's why I basically came up with the Beauty Industry and Community Award.
Right.
So from that, last year was our inaugural event last December.
Okay.
And we just did an awards brunch.
Okay.
So the whole focus is to get people to shop black, is to patronize people in your own community, something like Black Wall Street. So I wanted to bring that concept kind of back to our communities, where that we could have that dollar turn around more than one time in our community or more than 26 minutes. The dollar turned around 30 times in Black Wall Street, and that's how that Greenwood area in Tulsa became known as Black Wall Street, because it was such a flourishing African-American community in the early 1900s. So that's kind of the concept that I wanted us to come together and talk about it, and then go out and patronize one another for at least 12 days, because I did the first event on 12/12/21. So the 12 days until Christmas. And that's kind of where the concept was born.
I love that. And you mentioned it's a kind of a networking situation. And I love that Black Wall Street concept as well. Now, you talked about in Black Wall Street, the dollar turned around about 30 times. And we know that we still, as African Americans, live under a situation where our dollars are not getting their full due within our own communities. What are your on the value of networking? And I note that that's a large concept of your legacy award. What's the value of networking?
It's such a vast value that just changing our mindset, just changing our thoughts and the way we do things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just since last year, I've seen people, you know, start to shop black, and they think about it. They think about it now. As before, you didn't really think about it. You know, you'll go to a black restaurant, or you'll go to, you know, shop at expos maybe.
Uh-huh.
But then we don't do it on a continuous basis.
Uh-huh.
We do it around the time when we say it's Black History Month.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we started doing it a lot after the event, the George Floyd event.
Right.
You know, we started doing it. But then we always do something for a moment, and I wanted to make this a movement so that we think about it all the time. You know, just simply thinking about patronizing another African American, you know, just think about, you know, going to somebody, and then when you let them know you're patronizing them, then they'll turn around and they'll patronize someone else, African American, because we're always looking for someone else to do something for us, and our economic dollar is so bad.
Wow.
We spend money more than anybody else.
Oh.
We spend money every day with others.
Yeah.
Just think about spending it with one another and think about how we'll grow legacies and generational wealth in our own community.
Mm.
Let's stop going outside our communities, and we can do it right within our community, within us. It takes each one of us to go shop with someone else, patronize someone else that's African American. We're going to patronize the other people anyway. It's not about downing anybody else. It's just pro-black. You know, everybody else is pro their community. It's okay for us to be pro-black, you know, and not anti anyone else. But we're going to shop with them anyway. I go to Walmart 2 or 3 times a week.
Right.
You know, Sam Walton kids are billionaires, and they're going to be rich.
Right.
It's time to do that in our own community.
Right,
and
right.
Not always doing it for someone else.
Now, I need to ask you about the 12 days, and you explained that very well. We've all heard about the 12 days of Christmas, but elaborate on that a little bit more. I'm assuming that the concept is each day of those 12 days we would do something. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, it was just significant because I did an event called 12/12/12 in 2012.
Okay.
And I was really going to do that again. And because of COVID and everything, we would have to rehearse. It was going to be a theatrical hair show.
Oh.
I just decided to make it the 12 days. We did it last year on the 12th. So that meant it was 12 more days till Christmas. So basically, there's not necessarily, too much thought behind it.
Yeah.
Just to think. To go out and shop for 12 days because we're shopping anyway.
Yeah.
We're going to the malls. We're going to stores. We're buying things for our loved ones and buying for everybody else, for others. So I just thought, why don't we talk about shopping with African Americans?
Mm.
And that's why last year I did the event really quickly in a small venue.
Yeah.
This year it's in a larger venue. So what we're doing is on Saturday we're having the Black Saturday Expo where we're going to have over 20 vendors and food trucks. So we're going to be there waiting for those folks that are planning on going to the malls. We want to suggest that they come to Skyline Ranch and shop there and then continue shopping for 12 days. And not only did we do this event, here, I brought some of my friends in last year, brought them to the table, and they did it in different cities. So we just say 12 days plus to shop, even in the other months, not just Christmas, but in the other months.
Okay,
not
let me jump. I'm sorry.
We're not just doing Black History Month. We're not just doing it at Juneteenth, but we're doing it every day, patronizing other African Americans.
I love it. Now let's get into the meat and butter. Okay, now you really kind of emphasized three days, I believe, December 10, which is Saturday, and then Sunday is the 11th, I believe. And then and then 12. Okay, now let's get this. Okay, you will be at Skyline Ranch. You will be at Skyline Ranch, and the address for Skyline Ranch, many of us have been there, is 1801 East Wheatland Road in the Oak Cliff area. Skyline Ranch, 1801 East Wheatland Road. And we know the Petries, wonderful couple, Penny and Robert, on Skyline, and it's a wonderful place. And so just for going to the ranch alone, added with being able to be a part of this wonderful legacy event, should inspire us to get up and take care of it. Now, I understand there will be, I guess this is on... what day is this when there's a brunch? What day is that?
The brunch is on Sunday.
Okay.
So the brunch is where we award people that have been doing exemplary work in the community.
Okay, now let's put a pin right there. So on Sunday at this brunch at noon, a noontime brunch, you're going to honor some people. Tell us about the honorees, how many honorees, why are they being honored? Share with us that so we can be happy with them and proud with them. Who's going to be honored and how many of them and what have you at the brunch at noon on Sunday?
Yes, ma'am. There are 14 honorees. So basically we honor some of the people from the beauty industry that are doing great things in the beauty industry in the community. And then we honor people in the community that are doing things in the city.
Okay.
We just came up with some different awards and we wanted to award people in different areas across the city, across the Metroplex.
Okay.
So some of our honorees, we have Constable Tracy Gully.
Okay.
Politically correct. She is being honored.
Uh-huh.
We have, I don't have my list with me, but we have...
now, I know one of the young men is Eric Lockhart, and he's a Skyline graduate. And he does something in finance and business, I believe. He's one. Okay. Oh, and of course, our own publisher, Cheryl Smith, I think. Tell us about that. And I guess she would be like in media and communication or something.
Yes, ma'am. The Journalism Award for the Media and Communication. Cheryl Smith is getting that award for Texas Metro newspaper.
Okay.
And all that she does is done in the community with her newspaper.
Right.
Just getting the word out about different events and different things going on. So she is the honoree for that.
About how many categories? About how many categories? Business, beauty, legal events, justice events. What are some of the categories, maybe?
So we have the first responder category.
Okay.
We have the Legacy Award that is going to Eric Lockhart.
Okay.
We have the, I need my paper, I'm going, losing everything.
Oh, I know. Listen, you're preaching to the choir there.
In the beauty industry, people that help others to grow in the beauty industry.
What about faith? What about faith? Is there somebody in the faith group, faith and religion? Is there anybody in?
No, we don't have anyone in that group.
Okay. What about education? Education? Anybody in education?
We did acknowledge someone in education. Not sure if they're going to make it.
Okay.
We did acknowledge someone in education.
What about health and doctors?
Health and wellness.
Okay, great.
We have the Baileys.
Okay, great.
Cedric and Pumpkin Bailey.
Great.
Are getting the health and wellness.
Great.
And fitness award.
Wonderful. Well, y'all have covered the waterfront. You've covered the waterfront. Now, let me ask you, how can people learn more information about this? Now, I think you've got, is it a website or a Facebook?
Yes,
maybe
is.
It's Facebook. Tell us where can we learn more about it?
You can go to freddiej.com.
Okay.
And you can see there, all the honorees are there. And also, not just Saturday and Sunday, we also have Monday.
Okay, tell us about Monday.
Monday also.
What's happening on Monday?
We have the business forum.
Oh.
So someone mentioned last year that once we get everybody to start patronizing our businesses, so we need to make sure that we do great business. We need to make sure that we open businesses that are to a certain standard. So we decided to do a business forum on Monday.
Okay.
At that business forum, we're going to have Ahmad Goree from the Small Business Association, from the SBA.
Okay.
We're going to have an accountant there.
Okay.
We're going to have someone that talks about 24 things I bet you didn't know about business credit.
I love it.
And then about branding and marketing. So we have a business class on Monday, and that is open to everyone. It's not just the beauty industry. It's for every industry.
Okay.
If you're interested in opening a business, if you have a business and you want to do better service or learn some other things that may be available for your small business,
right,
then you definitely need to be there on Monday.
Right. Now, I guess I'm just nosy, but I always like to know a little bit about our guests' background or growing up years or decisions about life. How did you end up in the beauty and business industry? What drew you to that? What were you like as a kid? Were you out selling lemonade or something? What? How did you get to that?
Well, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but
yeah.
When I graduated high school, I did want to teach, and I wanted to stay in sports.
Oh, sports!
I was actually in school, so I did go to school, Oklahoma State, for a year.
Okay.
I made the dean's list and all that.
Uh-huh.
Then I decided to leave school and move to Dallas, and I kind of worked in business and retail for a little while, and then finally decided to go to cosmetology school.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was going to teach and coach and teach art because
yeah.
I could sketch and draw as a child. So I guess I ended up where I was supposed to be.
Yeah,
in the art business with doing hair. And then I educate also. I teach haircutting classes and classes within the beauty industry. I teach classes all over the country. So that's just where I ended up. I'm from a small town in East Texas and been in Dallas, you know, since I after I went to school for a year and then moved to Dallas. So
I love
it. Here for that long.
I love it. Just a real quick thought. If someone viewing in wants to branch out like you did, make that first kind of scary step, what advice do you give people who come to you and say, oh, I want to do what you did. I want to follow in your footsteps. What advice do you give them?
Oh, my. Definitely, I think that hair ended up being my passion only because I like art anyway, and I like drawing and sketching, and I like to see the outcome of things, and that's why I like doing events, and I like bringing people together, and I like serving people. So, you definitely have to have a passion for what you're doing, and then you have to get educated on it. You know, a lot of times we open business, a lot of us that opened our businesses didn't really know how to run a business, and
right,
that you always have to get more and more education.
Yeah.
You know, and just be open for networking also. Networking will improve your net worth. You know, networking just helps you to open up and to meet people and know people. And, you know, if your lifelong thing is to help people, you definitely need to network with people and just learn and open yourself up and grow and be open to learning and growing is the main thing.
What powerful advice. Powerful advice. Yes, yes, yes. And I love that part about networking, because, you know, every day, and I'm guilty of this myself, we meet people or we pass them and we don't understand what we could learn from them if we just got a little closer to them, if we just opened up to them. I know, and this thought has occurred to me when I've gone to a number of funerals. They start telling all about what those people did, and I'm thinking, are they talking about the same person I knew? I never knew. And so I really receive what you're saying about networking, because there's so much that we can offer each other. And I heard you say that early on, that your group's going to gather together. What all do you think will come out of that? Just that rubbing shoulders part. What will come out of that?
It's so interesting you say that, because we've done this event. We did it in 8 different cities besides Dallas, and so many things happened. People networked in other cities. There was a school that was going to close, and once they came together and met each other, the people got into works, and the school didn't have to close.
You hush your mouth. Hush.
There for 30 years for young people. So just so many things can come out of this. You'd never know until you open yourself up. And, you know, I thank God that I was able to start this, and I really wanted to continue in other cities, so that we can really, in the African-American community, we have got to do better. And to do better, we've got to get out of one another and start patronizing one another. That's the only way that we're going to make a change in our lives and our children's lives.
Right. Now, everybody, we are talking with Freddie J., and she is the founder of the Bicca Legacy Awards, and that is, tell us again what Bicca is.
Bicca is the Beauty Industry and Community Awards.
Okay, and that's and it's Freddie J. Freddie Jones, and she's known as Freddie J. And this event will be at Skyline Ranch, 1801 East Wheatland Road, and it's a 3-day event. This Saturday the 10th, Sunday the 11th, and Monday the 12th. On the 11th Saturday, I'm sorry, on Sunday the 10th, there will be this brunch at noon, a brunch at noon at Skyline, and they're going to honor, oh gosh, about 14 different categories of people. And by the way, our own publisher, Cheryl Smith, will be honored as for communication and outreach with her newspaper enterprise, and just wonderful other people in various categories. You can name it, the different categories that will be honored. And then tell us again about Saturday and Sunday. Saturday and Monday. Tell us about that again.
So Saturday, we're going to have vendors, guys, vendors and food trucks. We're going to even have some DIYs. We're going to have some do-it-yourself makeup, day makeup. We're going to have some crafts that you can do. We'll have some presentations from the stage, and then we have over 20 vendors. So make sure you come out. You're going to be shopping for Christmas. Make sure you come through the ranch and shop with us at Skyline Ranch. And we are so happy to be at Skyline Ranch. When we started this, we wanted to make sure that we also used African-American venue.
Right.
We have to have an African-American venue. These are for my friends that do it all over the country, my nationwide partners. So we have to have an African-American venue, decorators, caterers. So I was so glad that we chose Skyline Ranch this year. And, well, Skyline Ranch kind of chose us. It's Bicca Legacy Weekend and such a great time because so many things have happened for Skyline Ranch this year, and we will want to celebrate them also and everything that's starting to happen for Skyline Ranch. And they've been there for 29 years. It'll be 30 years next year.
Wow.
So what a wonderful place to choose with Mr. Robert Petrie and Penny Petrie. They've done so much for the community, and now things are getting ready to happen for their ranch, more so than already has, but we're so glad that that's happening. So that's what's happening on Sunday. On Saturday, we're going to be at Skyline Ranch. We want everybody to come out. The event is free. You guys can come in and shop till you drop. We'll have food there and everything. So it's a day out for the family. So while you're out shopping, please come by Skyline Ranch on Wheatland Road.
I love
it. Of course, the brunch on Sunday and Monday, the business classes. So any small businesses, anybody that wants a little more education on your business, please come out on Monday. We're going to have the SBA people there. We're going to have an accountant there. We're going to have people talking about business credit, marketing and branding, and how to change your small business from a side hustle to a legitimate small business. So we've got a lot for you and a round table during lunch on Monday. So Monday's going to be a great time too. We have people that are registered, but if you want to register, please go to freddiej.com and you can register for any of those events.
Very good. I'm so glad you mentioned that. So everybody, and I think we'll put it in the chat, it's a free event for the public. And as Freddie J said, free, food and vendors and all like that. But save the registration site once more, and we'll put it in the chat. Where do you go?
FreddieJ.com.
Very good. Fred, and that's FREDDIE, and then the letter J, .com. Freddie, yes. FREDDIE, the letter J, all together, no space, no dots, .com. Very good, very good. Any, as we wind up, any points that we did not touch on, now that we've got people tuned in, any comments you want to make, even on other projects, if you've got another project in the back of your head, your hands are full right now, but any other projects or future goals that you want to just kind of give us a little hint about now as we begin to wind up?
Well, this is going to be an annual event in December here, but the next one will be in February in Oklahoma City. We also have the Chief Amazon from the Real Black Wall Street. He's going to be speaking on Sunday. So we not only want to mimic some of the things from Black Wall Street in the Greenwood area, we have it coming from the horse's mouth. So he will be here. He does a tour, the Real Black Wall Street tour in Tulsa. We went to that last year when we went to Oklahoma City to do the brunch. And then we went over to Tulsa to tour Black Wall Street. So he is coming here and will be speaking on Sunday. So we're very, very excited about that also. He will be speaking at the brunch. So if you would love to hear him, we have a few more seats left for the brunch, not very many. So make sure you come out on Sunday.
Now the brunch,
that's what we have going on. It'll be going on all next year. We'll be in different cities. So look out for a city near you. We went to 8 different cities, and we're adding some cities this year. So please go to my website and find out. And we will be very soon working on the Black pages. So we're going to have the Black website to come out to make sure that when you're in different cities, you can visit the different vendors and the different people that support us. So you will know where to go when you go to a different city and know who is supporting Bicca and who is supporting us nationwide. So if you're traveling to a different city, that website is going to come out soon. So y'all be on the lookout. All right? It's going to be like the Green Pages. If anybody knows about the Green Book from back in the day, places that you could go and shop and stay, and when you travel to different parts of the city, different parts of the country, that's what we'll be coming out with. So make sure you watch out for that website coming soon.
Freddie J, I'm scared of you. I'm scared of you. Well, you have just really, you are a powerhouse, and you're such an inspiration. And you are an example to others that you can do it. I mean, you know, many of us lie in the bed at night and say, you know, oh, I wish, or, oh, my gosh, and oh, this and oh, that. But folk like you who get up and just actually do it, who make it happen, my hat's off to you, and I wish you all the best. Everybody, we've been talking with Freddie J, and she is the founder of the Beauty Industry and Community Award called Bicca Legacy Award. And as she mentioned, it's going to be 3 days at Skyline Ranch beginning Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and all of those things, vendors and round tables and conferences and discussions on starting a business and you get food and oh my gosh, and shopping for the upcoming holiday among ourselves, helping ourselves. What a wonderful powerhouse idea. And the Black Wall Street man, oh, that's an inspiration, that she's going to have an actual speaker from the original Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he's going to speak Sunday at the brunch about the real Black Wall Street, noon Sunday, Skyline Ranch. Thank you, Freddie J, for gracing us, and we wish you well.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody. That was Freddie J, and she was telling us about this wonderful three-day event that's going to be at Skyline Ranch, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, December 10, 11, and 12. And the shopping among ourselves, 12, and she's kind of using the theme, 12 days of Christmas, and we've got, you know, kind of that much time or so before the actual day, and we can support our own businesses, and a lot of business representatives will be there, and we can shop there, we can learn about other African-American owned businesses, we can learn about starting our own businesses. Oh gosh, it's a wonderful event, and we just thank her so much for that. So we're going to now look at some of the, you know what, I think we'll take a small music break right now, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about some other events that are going on in the community. We're in the month of December. And y'all know what events, aside from Christmas and New Year's, Kwanzaa is coming. Kwanzaa Fest and the Kwanzaa is coming, the Christmas holiday, New Year's, we got New Year's coming. So let's take a music break and see what music we're going to hear. And then, oh my gosh, that is from the movie Harriet, y'all. Now that is one of my favorites. I'm just gonna hear about this from the movie Harriet.
With my face turned to the sun, weight on my shoulders, a bullet in my gun. Oh, I got eyes in the back of my head, just in case I had to run. I do what I can when I can while I can for my people, while the clouds roll back and the stars fill the night. That's when I'm gonna stand up, take my people with. Feel it in my bones.
She blows me away. Cynthia Erivo singing to us the theme song from the movie of my heroine, Harriet Tubman. And she says, stand up. She's going to take her people with her. And together they're going to a new freedom far across the river. She says, I hear freedom calling me. And she's saying, just keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. She says, I can feel it in my bones. And then her inspiration toward the end is, I go to prepare a place for you. And she's talking about her other folks still in bondage at the time. She got on out there. She went across that river. The girl was bad. Harriet Tubman, she was bad. And Cynthia Erivo really played her to the hilt in the movie Harriet. So I'm just blown away by that whole concept and the music and the inspiration of it all. Now, I said we were going to talk about some things going on in the community. Now, let me start with Black Nativity. That's It's going on right now, the Bishop Arts Theater Center in the on Tyler Street in the Oak Cliff area. The Bishop Arts Theater Center, 215 South Tyler Street in the Oak Cliff area. Black Nativity. Let's see if I can tell you a little bit about it. Of course, it's a holiday event, and the cast is African American, and it's inspired by Langston Hughes' hand clapping, toe tapping, finger snapping retelling of the Christmas story. And it runs December 1. It's already started. It runs December 1 through 18. It's a three consecutive weekends at Bishop Arts. And let's see, it's being directed by Sheridan Singleton, and it's choreographed by J. Alexander Langley. And local people are starring in it, and some of them are graduates of the Arts Magnet. And so we're just very proud of them. And let's see, I'm trying to see where you can get more information. Oh, here we go. If you want to get your ticket or get more information, it's www.bishopartstheater. Let me spell it. BISHOPARTS. Now, theater is spelled THEATRE. Now, you know there are two spellings of theater, ER and RE, but this one is Bishop, BISHOP, Arts, ARTS, Theater, THEATRE.org. And the phone number, 214-948-0716. Repeating, 214-948-0716. So that's just going to be a really nice evening. Let's see, did I tell you the time? I don't know if I said the time, but go online there and you'll get all of that information that you need. But it's December 1 through 18 on consecutive weekends. Now, the other thing, well, let me tell you about this one. A group is going to tour, a real estate council is going to tour the Gilliam, the Kathleen Gilliam Museum this Friday at 10 a.m. And we know that Kathleen Gilliam was a powerhouse education leader in the African-American community and a longtime member of the school board. She was a fighter. Oh, my gosh. Don't rub her the wrong way, because you've got a fight on your hands. She knew how to stand up and take her people with her, because she was going forward and she took the African-American community with her. That's this Friday, which is December 9 at 10 a.m. And so real estate council people are going to tour the museum, and I believe the public can go and be a part of that. And now, you already know that this event that I'm getting ready to tell you about is a very, very extremely successful event each year. It's the S.M. Wright Foundation's annual Christmas in the Park. This is the 24th presentation of that. And each year, for the last 24 years, it's at the Automo Building at Fair Park. Now, it's this, I mean, it's not this Saturday, but it's Saturday, December 17th. Saturday, December 17th. The Christmas in the Park. And the park is Fair Park, and it's the Automobile Building. And one just overwhelming thing about it is they have all kinds of toys and bikes and, I mean, just just real gifts for young people and for families who are deprived and have seen better days can get Christmas gifts for their children at this event on December 17 at the Automobile Building at Fair Park. And guess what? This event started with about less than 200 families. Guess what, y'all? There now are the most recent figure they have is that they served 43,000 families. Can you imagine that? 43,000 families who have seen better days, but they need a little help. And so they can go to this event sponsored by the S.M. Wright Foundation. And we know that foundation comes out of head people are the descendants of S.M. Wright, his sons and members at the People's Baptist Church in South Dallas on Pine Street there. But it's a separate nonprofit event. And you want to be a part of it. If you, if you kind of having a little struggle, financial struggle, economic struggle, and so they will give you a big helping hand. And another thing about it is it started as a service outreach to people in that South Dallas area. But guess what? Now it has grown. Oh, my gosh. It has grown way beyond the imagination, and people who need a little help are coming from all areas of the Dallas Metroplex. Now, other groups that are kind of helping out is the South Dallas Community Food Center, the South Dallas Community Resource Center, the Community Furniture Bank, the Dallas Financial Literacy and Tutoring Center, and there's even a service called Beds for Kids, and you can even get beds for your kids. And so, oh my gosh, just a wonderful, wonderful service. Now, here's where you can get more about this. The website is www.s as in Sam, m as in Mary, Wright, Wright foundation.org. So that's www, S as in Sam, M as in Mary, Wright, Wright foundation.org. And then here's another site, same information, but you can also get it through www.christmasatfairpark.com. www.christmasatfairpark.com. And let's see what else I can tell you. Bikes for various ages, young people, entertainment, working with people, even like the Dallas Mavericks are chipping in. Oh my gosh, just so many people helping this event, and just trying to see if I'm telling you everything about it. So go to those websites and get more information. Saturday, December 17, and I don't remember, but I think it might still be an open door for families who might need to register and sign up to try to get some of this help. So go to those websites, and I believe you can still get help through this S.M. Wright, Wright Foundation. Oh, gosh. Yeah, just what a wonderful service. Now, let me tell you about, well, I don't want to forget this. I keep talking about this, and I'm going to keep talking about this. At Southern Methodist University, SMU, there is an effort underway to establish an endowed scholarship in honor of Thomas Muhammad, one of our warrior leaders in the African American Dallas community, who left us, transitioned earlier this year. And it's the scholarship that will be through SMU is called the Thomas Muhammad Human Rights Scholarship. He was a strong advocate of human rights, and he didn't stop at civil rights. He added human rights because he was a devoted Islamic faith person, and so he advocated the philosophy of El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X, and so he was a force to contend with. And so if you I'm trying to see if you want more information about it. Okay, here's a phone number and an email where you can get more information. And that is, okay, here's the phone number, 469-766-2208. And that you'll speak with one of Thomas Muhammad's Islamic brothers, Imam Shahid. And here's his email. Okay, it's R as in red, I as in inch, Z as in zebra, A as in apple, K as in king, and the numeral 1 at msn.com. Okay, let me say that email again. R as in red, I as in inch, Z as in zebra, A as in apple, K as in king, the numeral 1 at M Mary S Sam N Nancy.com. And you can learn more. And the idea is that you will donate funds to help endow this scholarship. Whatever you can afford. Many of us can afford more. Many of us can afford less, but we can all afford some. And so let's really get on board with that, because Thomas Muhammad earned our support with the, I mean, he was nonstop in the various causes, nonstop. So we want to honor him. Now, upcoming, let's see, when is this? This is Saturday. And this is going to be a discussion at the African American Museum. And it will cover various aspects of the different racial conflicts across the nation over the years, and what we got out of them, how we were, how we grew, how we suffered but survived, how we made mistakes but overcame them. It's a discussion, and it's at 1 p.m. this Saturday, December 10, at the African American Museum at Fair Park. Talking about racial conflicts, racial riots, racial disturbances, urban rebellions, revolutionary uprising, civil disobedience, insurrection, and how we came through all of that and what we learned from all of that. And we will remember many of the people who were behind movements that ended up being conflicts, but their goals were to enhance and upgrade the community. Now, some of the participants in the discussion will be James Hawthorne, John Fullenwider, and Classy Nance. I always say that name wrong. Classy Nance. And it goes back from the 60s up to today. And then it ties in with the various explorations of the Kerner Commission. That commission was under the late former president Lyndon Baines Johnson, who was a Texan, there were all of these civil uprisings in the late 60s. And so this he commissioned these people to investigate, why are we having all of these disturbances? Why all of this urban uprising? Why all of this civil disobedience and talks of revolution and racial conflict? Why is all this happening? So LBJ commissioned these folks to go out there and investigate what's going on. Oh, and they came up with a multi-page report on the deficiencies of our society back during that time period. And so in 68, this lead investigator, Kerner, and so the commission was named for him, but it was a report on civil disobedience across the nation. And so under the auspices of former late President LBJ, and the report came out in 1968. So they're going to discuss all of this and inform those of the new generation who may not know that history. So you want to be there 1 p.m. this Saturday, December 10, at the African American Museum. And boy, it will be an education. It will be an education. And so just put that on your calendar. Put that on your calendar. Now, here's another group that I absolutely love. And this group is called the South Dallas Concert Choir. The South Dallas Concert Choir. And let's see what they're going to be doing. Now, this one is tomorrow at 7 p.m. at Greater Life Church of Dallas. And it's on Forney Road, 7031 Forney Road, Forney Road. And this church, now y'all who can go back in the day, this church used to be known as Greater Bethlehem Baptist Church, but it's now Greater Life Church of Dallas. We're just talking about the old Greater Bethlehem Baptist Church, but they're now known under a new name, Greater Life Church of Dallas. So y'all know how to get to Greater Bethlehem Baptist Church in the old day. Now you're going to the same place, but it's just a new name, Greater Life Church of Christ. Now, Thursday, tomorrow, December 8th, 7 p.m., the South Dallas Concert Choir will be doing a musical presentation. It's called A Christmas Wish. And the One Accord Men's Chorus and Tanisha McGowan will be the special guest. One Accord Men's Chorus and Tanisha McGowan will be the special guest. Oh, don't you just love music at Christmas time? Don't you just love it? So the South Dallas Concert Choir will be presenting this. And then they've got an inspiring upcoming season for next year. They've got stuff set up for Black History Month this coming year. And then they're going to do in March, they're going to have the Seven Last Words of Christ, which is a phenomenal music presentation. They're going to do that on Palm Sunday this coming year in April, on April 2nd, 2023. Y'all put this on your calendars so you can go and be inspired. And then in March, they're going to do Gimme That Old Time Religion. Gimme That Old Time Religion. That's going to be March 18 at 3 p.m. And so these are all different things for next year. What else are they going to do? Let's see. They're going on through, they're going to celebrate Mothers in May. You can get all of this on their website. And let's see, they've got something in June. the Whosoever Will Player Band. And New Art 6, y'all, will be, they're going to feature New Art 6 in June. Yeah. And so I'm trying to see here. You can join, you can get all this information online. My eyes are not allowing me to see the website, but just type in South Dallas Concert Choir. Just type in South Dallas Concert Choir, and you'll get all of this information. And they're a wonderful group. And so we all want to do that. So we're going to take another music break, and we're going to see what we're going to hear this time as we take another music break, and then we'll come back with a little Black history and maybe a few more items of community events going on and a little bit of Black history when we come back. But let's see what music we're going to hear. We may have to do, while we're getting ready for the music, we may have to do, let's just do one or two more community events while we're waiting for the music to come up. There's going to be a marker dedication for Dr. Marcellus Cooper, a historic figure in Dallas. He was the first Black dentist in the state of Texas, and he had been born into slavery in the Dallas area, Dr. Marcellus Cooper, and rose from that background to become the first Black dentist in Texas, Yeah, and that's tonight, everybody. Uh-oh, wait a minute. I think we missed it already. Yeah, it was today at noon. But just remember that there is now a new marker for Dr. Marcellus Cooper, a historical marker that was dedicated at noon today, honoring him. And he was the first Black dentist in the state of Texas. He was born into slavery here. And that this marker is placed at Carruth Haven Lane because his family was enslaved on that farm. It's a whole part of Dallas history, about the Carruth farm. And so this marker was placed at noon. It's going on right now as we speak. They're placing a marker for Dr. Marcellus Cooper at Carruth farm. And that is 555 Carruth Haven, 555 Carruth Haven Lane in the North Dallas area. 5556, did I say 6? 5556, 5556 Carruth Haven Lane in Dallas, in the North Dallas area. So, you know, we're reaching a time more and more where we are remembering our history and how African Americans contributed to the history of Dallas. Oh my gosh, don't even get me started on that, because it's so much. So here we go with our music. We're going to listen.
Favorite girl. I'll always love my just to buy me a new perfume. I never understood how mama made it through the week when she never ever got a good night's sleep. Oh, one of a kind. You've got yours and I've got mine. Oh, hey mama, hey mama, my heart belongs to you. Oh, yeah.
I'll always love my mama. She's my favorite girl.
It's the kind of love that stays with you until the day you die. She taught me little things like saying hello and thank you please while scrubbing the floors on a bending knee. Oh, she's one of a kind. You've got yours and I've got mine.
Home cooked
Oh man.
Boy, your mama sure cooked for her.
Okay, everybody. I always love my mama. You know, she's as that was the Intruders, everybody. She's my favorite girl. She brought me in this world. And I'll just, did you hear them sharing those memories that they had of how mama would discipline and then dad is always good for some good laughs. And so they're laughing and sharing memories. And, you know, it just brings about thoughts of how people in your life, can impact your life. And that song by the Intruders, I'll Always Love My Mama. First of all, I respect for making a song paying tribute to such a solid person in their life. But it just brings about thoughts of the impact a person can make in your life and how we need to appreciate them for what they sowed into our lives. And we need to respect them. It brings about thoughts of the need for respect, and it brings about thoughts for the lessons we learn. Like I think in one part of the song, they were laughing about they'd come home later. One of them would come home late, and Mama would kind of pull their ear and say, "Where you been? Where you been?" And but here they are years later remembering that, and that now has value and substance in their life. And so I just respect them, the Intruders. I'll always love my mama. And one of these times soon we'll play, probably not today, but at some future time, Tupac, because I respect him also for the tribute that he gave to his mama. So we're not at Mother's Day yet, but there's a lesson for all of us to learn, and we thank the Intruders for sharing that lesson with us. Now let's see, I said we were going to do a little bit of Black history. So I wanted to tell you in the little time that we have left about Charles Brackens. We're going to have a Black history moment here. Now the current generation, that name may not mean much, but there is a housing development in the West Dallas area, and it's named for Charles Bracken. It's called Bracken's Village. Now, you probably pass that every day and not thought about that Bracken's Village is named for a local African-American man. He lived and did his good deeds in the 1930s, and he employed over 30 African American and Anglo people. He had a business that where they would drive trucks, and they would team up for his various entrepreneurial enterprises. And he did a lot of. He was an excavating contractor. He was an excavation contractor, and he played a major role in the construction of many significant buildings. Charles Brackens, African-American, here in Dallas in the 1930s. He was an excavation contractor involved in many important buildings here. Now, his contracts included where he did work, Union Station, now known as the Eddie Bernice Johnson Union Station. He did work in that. He did also work for the Sears Roebuck Company in that old building there right across from the Dallas Police Headquarters, known as Southside on Lamar. Back in the 1930s, he did work on that building. And he often said that employing both African Americans and Anglos, he made no difference between the two of them. As an African American himself, he knew how to respect his African American employees. Now, he was a native of Dallas, lived here all his life. He learned his business during the 5 years that he spent as an employee at Vilbig Company. Now, he did a lot of philanthropic work. In fact, he was the first to make a $1,000 cash contribution to the YMCA Building Fund campaign. Now, we know there's a, oh my gosh, a powerful history behind that historic YMCA building that's now in the downtown area near the Arts Magnet. And so this Charles Bracken, a successful entrepreneur in the 1930s, was the first person, first African-American to make a $1,000 cash contribution to building that that historic YMCA building. We know that Ann Williams with the Dallas Black Dance Theater has resurrected that building, and it now houses the Dallas Black Dance Theater. Now, when a new federal aid housing project was constructed on the eastern edge of the 10th Street Freedman Town in the 50s, the Black Chamber, which was at that time was known as the Negro Chamber of Commerce, they named that whole community in honor of Charles T. Brackens. And again, we know it as Brackens Village. And so here we were with a local person. Now, the Brackens family plot is in the African-American burial ground in the Oak Cliff Cemetery there on 10th Street near Yvonne Yule School. And his maternal grandmother, Matilda Houston, is among the freedmen and freed women who are buried there. So that's a Black History moment. And as we're winding to a close, we want to acknowledge that Poetry Smash, the Black Academy of Arts and Letters, is having a Poetry Smash open mic tomorrow at 7:30, December 8th at 7:30, there at T-Ball, the Black Academy of Arts and Letters, 1309 Canton Street. It's in the Clarence Muse Theater there in the building. Now, you can visit www.tbaal.org, tbaal.org, tball.org, to get ticket information. Now, you want to call 214-743-2400. How many poets are out there? Y'all know y'all like to spin rhythmic lines, and so you can participate in that. And we also want to acknowledge the Peace and Justice Center. They do some really interesting things for the peace and justice effort. And they're having the first Tuesday Social Justice Film Festival. Now, I hope we haven't already missed that, but it's at the Unitarian Church of Oak Cliff at 3839 West Keys. That might have already passed, and I'm not seeing a date on here. But it's the first Tuesday Social Justice Film Festival, and I think it's an ongoing effort. But y'all can type in the Dallas Peace and Justice Center. Type in your search, Dallas Peace and Justice Center, and you can learn more about it. I do want to just kind of acknowledge efforts to help the homeless. Now, the City of Dallas Office of Homeless Solutions has launched what they call Responsible Giving Campaign, and it's all to help the homeless situation. You know, I don't know. We just have to do what you can about trying to help and tone down and eradicate or reduce homelessness. It seems like an unsolvable problem, but we can't give up. So the Office of Homeless Solutions announces the beginning of what's called the Responsible Giving Campaign. And what it does is it encourages residents to donate to charitable organizations that assist in people who are out on the street who have no shelter. And the effort is to come up with a sustainable housing, short-term engagement for helping people who are out on the street. Now, the campaign offers multiple options for giving to this effort. And if you want to get more information, here's a phone number that you can call, 214-740-4886. 214-740-4886. And some of the people who are helping with this effort, Communities Foundation of Texas is one. And then there is another group called the Continuum of Care. And then, did I mention Communities Foundation of Texas? They're helping out. So we can help out. We can help out. And if you want more information, you can text the word CARE, C-A-R, CARES, C-A-R-E-S. You can text that word to that phone number that I gave you, and it will give you a link to more information. So text the word CARES, like he cares, like C-A-R-E-S. Text that word to 214-740-4886. And you can get more information. One other just quick little point before we start getting out of here. Did you know, and I'm just kind of recently learning this myself, that I'm sure it's been going on a while, but, you know, you don't always pay attention. But you can get free COVID tests delivered to your home from the government. The government will now deliver free COVID tests to your home. And let's see, I'm trying to see, reading right quick here. This all came about under the Biden administration. And let's see where you can go to get more information. Okay, here's a hotline. Dial 1-800-274-7090. And that's a hotline number that you can get more information about getting these free COVID tests delivered to your home. 1-800-274-7090. So time to wake up, everybody. You know that? No more sleeping in bed. Time to wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Teddy Pendergrass is knocking at your door. Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Harriet Tubman didn't sleep. She said she was going to stand up and take her people with her. Now, freedom was calling across the river. So Teddy is saying,
wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children to jump the very best you can. Better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Yeah.